Good morning and welcome to Campbell Baptist Church this morning. It is good to see you here for worship. A few announcements as we get rolling this morning. First of all, the baptism class, which was admittedly on pause the past couple of weeks with sickness running through our family, is back on. We met the last hour at 9:30, and we'll continue. So for any who wondered, was it on, was it not on, and then didn't show because they weren't sure, we're back on, and you can be there again next week, back in the office area, baptism class during the Sunday school hour, 9:30 a.m. We want to let you know about last week's meeting. The membership approved the 2022 budget, voted to approve our public accountant. If you are a member, though, and have not yet had the chance to vote for our candidates for the office of elder and for treasurer, elder being Chad Vermeulen and treasurer being Kevin Victor, please do so today. Voting will continue after the service for 10 minutes, or maybe as long as that line at the desk is there. If you're in line, we can probably extend that to 11 minutes, 12 minutes, but if nobody's there at 10 minutes, the button stops right there. After the service, you can head out to the desk in the lobby and vote. Speaking of Chad, we do want to let you know of Chad's father having passed away, and the funeral that is tomorrow. Please be in prayer for the family. Chad will be eulogizing, and he needs your prayer support behind him. He's already said, "Will you be willing to step in for me if it's too hard?" So he's already feeling it, and who wouldn't when it's your dad, right? So please be in prayer for Chad. He would love for me not to stand in for him and be able to do that on his own. So please be in prayer for him and for the rest of the family. Also for the Demers family, as Roland went home to be with his Lord as well on Saturday, yesterday. It was 8 a.m. I got a chance to meet with both Shirley and Anne-Marie in the afternoon to pray with them, and had a sweet time. They're actually going to be meeting with the funeral home this morning. So details pending. They were, however, as of yesterday, talking about maybe a funeral this coming weekend, so out of town folks could come. So guard Saturday if you can for that, but that's not the final word by any stretch of the imagination. Also, thank you, speaking of prayers, for all of your prayers for me and our family. This has been a roller coaster of a week. In fact, I am so glad for my brother Tom from Walkerville Baptist Church, who will be preaching this morning. There was no way I was going to have a message prepared, so thank you, Tom. Look forward to hearing from you later this morning. But again, thank you one and all for your prayers. Mom is doing better. The surgery went well. Recovery is one of those two steps forward, one step back sort of scenarios. But we're trusting the Lord. He's done so much already. And thank you again for your prayers on our behalf. Let's spend the next few moments, shall we, quietly preparing our hearts to worship the Lord. Father in heaven, we thank you for your mercy and for your grace. And Lord, we thank you that we have cause to worship and to rejoice, even in the midst of difficult and trying days. Whether it be poor health or the death of a loved one or even just life in this crazy upside down world we find ourselves in these days. Lord, we thank you that because of Jesus and because of what he has done, we have cause to rejoice. Fix our eyes this morning, we pray, on him, on our crucified and risen Savior, that we might overflow in adoration and praise. Fill our hearts, Father, with your joy, with your peace that passes understanding. And knit us together, Father, as brothers and sisters in love, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Our call to worship this morning comes from Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verses 18 to 26. If you're using a Pew Bible and would like to follow along, that's on page 867. Luke 9, verses 18 to 26. Now it happened that as he was praying alone, the disciples were with him, and he asked them, "Who do the crowds say that I am?" And they answered, "John the Baptist, but others say Elijah, and others that one of the prophets of old has risen." Then he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "The Christ of God." And he strictly charged and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised." And he said to all, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels."
I know that my Redeemer lives. Would you stand as we sing those words confidently together this morning?
Thank you.
before the throne.
Before the throne.
Thank you, and you may be seated.
Good morning. Our scripture reading this morning is found in Romans 5, verses 6 through 21. If you're using a Pew Bible, that can be found on page 942. So Romans 5, verses 6 through 21, starting now in verse 6. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men, because all sinned. For sin indeed was in the world before the law was given. But sin is not counted where there is no law. Yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sinning was not like the transgression of Adam, who was a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if many died through one man's trespass, much more have the grace of God and the free gift by the grace of that one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for many. And the free gift is not like the result of that one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brought justification. For if, because of one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more will those who receive the abundance of grace and the free gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as one trespass led to condemnation for all men, so one act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all men. For as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. Now the law came in to increase the trespass, but where sin increased, grace abounded all the more, so that as sin reigned in death, grace also might reign through righteousness, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Thank you, Jeff. Let's look now to our Lord in prayer, shall we? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for the gospel that we have just read together. That where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. That where one act of transgression led to condemnation for all, so one act of righteousness, the crucifixion of Jesus our Savior, through that one act, justification now comes to all who trust in him. Oh, Lord, thank you. Thank you that while we were still sinners, while we were enemies, we were reconciled to you by the death of your Son. Oh, Lord, we thank you for that reconciliation. We thank you that we are now at one with you. That there is therefore now no condemnation to us because we are in Christ Jesus. Oh Lord, thank you for sending your Son to be our Savior. Oh Father, may we be good stewards of this gospel in these days. May it strengthen and encourage our hearts daily, and may we reach out with it to others, sharing our hope, sharing our faith. May we point men and women to a crucified and risen Savior, and not shy away from seizing the opportunities that would present themselves. But too, with boldness, with clarity, with grace, and with conviction, proclaim what we know to be true. Oh Lord, these are difficult and trying days we live in. And oh, how we need your grace and your strength each and every day to navigate them well. Father, may we glorify Christ with how we conduct ourselves. May we honor you with our thoughts, with our words, and with our deeds. Oh, Lord, keep us from despair. May our hope and our confidence not be in man, but in you. And Father, we thank you for the promise that there is a better country awaiting us. That we look forward to the new Jerusalem that will come down out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband, that we will forever be with the Lord, that there will be no more sorrow, no more crying, no more pain, that the former things will all pass away and everything will be made new. Indeed, Father, we rejoice this morning, for Roland and for Chad's dad, Don, who have gone to be with you. Lord, we thank you that the promise for all who trust in Christ is eternal life in heaven with you. Oh, Lord, would you comfort each of our hearts with that truth? Father, I would pray again for my own mother. Lord, that you would continue to strengthen and heal her. Father, that you would be near to my dad and my sister for all that they are doing on the front lines. Lord, thank you for the opportunity we had Wednesday night to be at Mom's bedside. Oh, Lord, we entrust her into your care. Indeed, we entrust all who are walking through difficult health challenges into your care. Lord, we thank you that you are the great physician and that you still heal today. Indeed, we thank you that the promise for believers is a full healing, if not in this life, then certainly in the next. And so, again, Father, we rejoice in our hope. Father, we think of those that we have the privilege of supporting who carry your gospel around the world. In particular, Father, we would pray this morning for Irv and Laura Augustine and their ministry with the Navigators and their involvement with the church in Chile. And Lord, pray that you would continue to grow and strengthen the church there. Father, continue to provide Irv and Laura everything they need to serve you well in this last stretch before they look forward to retirement. Father, would you encourage their hearts this morning in the gospel? We think of your church around the world, and in particular for our brothers and sisters who are imprisoned, who are tortured, who are threatened with death because they would speak the name of Christ. Lord, we pray that you would guard their hearts, that you would keep them faithful come what may. And Father, may they serve as an encouragement to us, that we would remain faithful to you come what may. Father, as we see our own liberties eroding around us, may we not cave on what matters, but may we continue to proclaim Christ, crucified and risen, so that all might hear. Father, we pray for our denomination, the Fellowship of Evangelical Baptist Churches here in Canada. And pray, Father, for each and every church associated with that body, that you would be strengthening them, building them up, having each church stand firm on the gospel in these days. Oh, Lord, we think in particular this morning of our brothers and sisters at Walkerville Evangelical Baptist Church. And thank you that Tom Perry is with us this morning, being able to fill the pulpit. Lord, would you bless that church? Would you strengthen and encourage them as they see their new building going up and are looking forward to taking possession of it in the months ahead? Lord, we pray that this would be a great cause for rejoicing and for knitting them together in unity and in love one for another, and to just be a presence again in the community of Walkerville. Lord, may this new building just generate interest and have people come and fall under the sound of the gospel. And Father, would you use that ministry to turn the hearts of many to the Savior? Oh, Lord, continue your work here in and through Campbell Baptist Church. And again, Father, we thank you for our proximity to the university and the outreach that provides for us there. And Lord, in the community that you've placed us, may we not be content to have people come, but may we go out from this place again with the gospel. May we be a people obsessed with the gospel, with its proclamation, with its application to our hearts and lives, desiring to grow in grace and in our knowledge and love of the Savior. May we be so fixed on you that the things of this earth would grow strangely dim in the light of your glory and grace, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would you stand again as we continue in song, Ask Ye What Great Thing I Know.
Thank you. Christ, our hope and life and end.
Thank you.
Well, that hymn certainly reminds us of the book of Colossians, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, it's my honor and privilege to be here this morning. Again, Pastor Bruce, we're praying for your family. We're praying for the Damaris family. I had the opportunity to know Roland for many years. So we're praying for Shirley and for Anne Marie. And we're also praying for Chad. I never met you, but I'm praying for your family as well. Well, as Pastor Bruce said, we are rebuilding. We are the church, the people of God, but we are rebuilding the church at 815 Windermere in Cataract. And praise God, it's been a horrific season. We had to go through an actual trial of fire. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials as some strange thing. But we actually had to go through a horrific fire October 27th, 2019. But praise God, we are told in the providence and will of God, April and May, we will be back into our building. So we're so grateful for our sister churches, including Campbell Baptist. And from our church family and from our elders, thank you for your prayers. I grew up in this church. Back in the 90s, I was married in this church to my lovely wife, Linda, and I was grounded in the Word here at Campbell Baptist Church. I shared with Pastor Bruce before the service one beautiful verse that can sum up this church, Campbell Baptist Church. Preach the Word, be instant in season, out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort for all long-suffering and doctrine. And for that, I am so grateful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy, for your grace. And we thank you that you indeed are a good God. And we know that all things work out for good for those that love God, for those that are called according to your purposes. And we do pray for the suffering this morning. We do pray for those that have lost loved ones. And we do indeed pray for our city. And we do indeed pray for our country. And we do indeed pray for our missionaries, that the gospel be preached to all nations. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, of course, today is Super Sunday, Super Bowl Sunday, the super spectacular sporting event of the year. Now, today, many people will be all in for the Los Angeles Rams because they want to be all in to finally see Matthew Stafford win a Super Bowl. Of course, I'm a Detroit Lions fan, so I'll just be watching. But then other fans are all in for the Icky Shuffle, right? Remember that back in the 90s and 80s? They will be in for the Cincinnati Bengals. Back in my day, they were called the Bungles. So there is hope for the Lions fans here this morning. But many fans will be all in for the LA Rams. Many fans will be all in for the Cincinnati Bengals. They are all in for the big game. Still others don't care about the Rams or the Bengals. They're into the Pepsi halftime show, right? They're all in for the music. Last year, somebody said, Pastor, weekend's going to be at the Super Bowl. I said, every Super Bowl's on the weekend. Interesting. Some people are in it for the music. Then there's others who don't care about football. But when it comes to the Super Bowl parties, you should come to the evening service here, by the way. And the hot chili, and the nachos and cheese, and the chicken wings, and the smoked meat, they are all in for the food. Many don't care about the game, but they care about the commercials, right? They are all in for the commercials. Everyone once a year is all in for the Super Bowl. You know, would be to God that people would get super excited for the super great, super good news message of the gospel. That Jesus Christ died according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. According to the scriptures, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. This is not speculation. You know, one of the things I loved about the Bereans is they checked the scriptures daily for truth. How sad it is that though many in our world are all in on Super Sunday and the Super Bowl. But if the statistics are right, what a mission field we have, because they're not all in for Jesus. At Walkerville, we've been going through lessons from Luke's gospel. Today, at 4 o'clock, Walkerville, and today, Campbell, at 10:30, will learn how to be all in to forsake everything for Jesus and to surrender all for Jesus. If you have your Bibles, please turn to your Bibles, Luke's Gospel, Luke 14. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke 14, beginning with verse 25. Now, great multitudes went with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple." So Jesus is repeating himself here, cannot be my disciple. "For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he's able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, verse 34. But if the salt has lost its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is neither fit for the land, nor for the dunghill, but men throw it out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." These are the red letters of Jesus. And from our text this morning, we first notice that great multitudes followed Jesus. You see, Jesus' aim was not to generate great numbers and big crowds. Jesus was interested in the quality of discipleship, not the quantity. I'd rather have 30 sold-out, surrendered Christians than 300 or 3,000 lukewarm Laodicean Christians. See, Jesus' aim was to boldly proclaim the high cost of discipleship. You see, not everyone back in Jesus' day who followed Jesus was a believer. Not everyone today amongst us, they say they are Christians, but are they? And yet Jesus knew from the beginning. Jesus is omniscient. He knows everything, all knowledge. From that time, many of his disciples walked back and followed him no more, John 6. "But Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons. We did all these great wonders in your name, in the name of Jesus," Matthew 7. And four of the scariest verses in Scripture, "I never knew you." You know, Jesus said earlier on in Matthew's gospel, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me." You see, Jesus is not interested in lip service. Jesus is interested in life service. Whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:33. Which begs the question, well, what's a disciple? Well, a disciple is a learner who attaches himself to a teacher, and our teacher is the Holy Spirit. We need to have a teachable learning spirit, not a critical spirit. We need to read the Word of God. We need to reflect on the Word of God. We need to recite the Word of God, which this church has always done. And the hard part, we need to respond to God's Word. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the seats of the sinners, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and what? He meditates on it day and night." So a disciple is a student of the Word of God. We are called to be diligent Bible students. We are called to make disciples out of all nations. We are called to teach others, as Paul taught his spiritual son, Timothy. "These things you have heard from me, commit them to faithful men who will be able to teach others as well." 2 Timothy 2. The Lord tells us to count the cost of discipleship. We see this in our text. You know, salvation is free. It's the free gift of God. You can't MasterCard it. You can't buy it. You can't earn it. "For by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of any works, lest anyone brag." Salvation is of the Lord. We know this in the Bible. It comes at no cost, but it costs God's Son to die on the cross in our place, on our behalf, as our substitute. He who knew no sin took sin for us on the cross. So the questions for us to examine this morning are the following. Are we true disciples of Jesus? You know, Paul says in 2 Corinthians 13, "Test yourselves, examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith." Are we truly sold out for Jesus? Are we all in? Have we surrendered our entire being to Jesus? Have we surrendered our possessions to Jesus? Have we surrendered our time, talents, and treasures to Jesus? Have we truly counted the cost of being a disciple of Christ? Are we individually and corporately today all in for Jesus? Well, Jesus in this text tells us how we can be all in when it comes to following him as a disciple. And the cost number one of discipleship is the fact that Jesus must come over our family. He must come first over our family and our relationships. Priority number one must be God. Everything else must be a far distant second. "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his mother, father, wife, and children, brothers and sisters, and yes, his own life, also he cannot be my disciple." Earlier on in Luke, Jesus said, "Father will be divided against father, son, and son against father, mother against daughter, and daughter, mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law." You know, in these verses, we see words like hate and divide. But I thought in 1 John, we are told that God is love. And we're told in Corinthians, "Let there be no contentions, no divisions amongst you." Well, Jesus is using hate here as a metaphor, meaning lesser love. We must love Christ more supremely than our own flesh and blood. And when you do this by comparison to your love to God, everything else you will love less. Remember, we love him because he first loved us. So you will love Christ more than our families, our kids, our occupations, my bad golf game. Can anyone teach me how to play golf? Our sporting events, including the Super Bowl. If we are in Christ and our relatives are not, there is a divide. There's a huge gap. We have so much more in common in Christ. In following Christ, we may find ourselves divided from loved ones. You know, I was never good in math. You know, I'd get like B's and C's. Usually in our classes, I'd get B pluses or A minuses. I tried my best. But you know, math was not a good subject. And I hated that common denominator stuff. Maybe Michelle, you can help me. But you know what? As Christians, we have a common denominator. We are in Christ. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one Spirit, one God. Ephesians 4. You know, anything we put above God, we should hate as idolatry. So God must come first. Our Christian home is so important. And the local church, as we have found out through these difficult past 2 years, how important the local church is. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves, as some are in the habit of doing, but we continue to meet to encourage, to edify, to equip, and to evangelize, and to pray for our missionaries. You know, if we say we are disciples of Christ, we will prioritize the scriptures. We will be in the Word daily, chewing over the scriptures. Jesus said in John 8:31, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." You know, after the fire, I had to move my car. And everyone was moving their cars. But all I had left was this beat up old Bible. And it's got duct tape on it. But you know what? This was enough. This was enough. If we say we are true disciples, we need to value the Word of God. And we need to value the local church of gathering together until Jesus comes back for his bride, the church. If we say we are disciples, we will prioritize Sunday school. You know, it's interesting. Years ago, a few of you fellows will remember, in Sunday school, we studied a book called Quest for Character. And I'm still on that quest. Sunday school is so important to continue to grow, as Pastor Bruce said, in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If we say we are true disciples, we will prioritize the power and privilege of prayer. You know, Jesus taught us to pray in Luke. Teach us how to pray, Lord. You know, I learned a lot about Nehemiah after the fire, rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. We had to rebuild the walls of Walkerville. And I learned that Nehemiah prayed night and day. The Apostle Paul prayed night and day. How about us? How's our prayer life? The Bible says pray without ceasing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with all thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And then you will experience the peace of God that is beyond human understanding. Prayer. The Word. The early church. Acts 6. We will continually give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word. These two priorities, scripture and supplication, should take top priority here in the church and in our Christian homes. And we need to prioritize service. You have a spiritual gift the moment you're saved. You have at least one. And God must come first over any other relationship. The most important relationship is a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So you have to ask yourself the question, am I willing to reprioritize all other relationships as compared to my personal relationship with Jesus? Cost number two of discipleship. Jesus must come over ourselves. Jesus must be first. Jesus first, others second. We learn in kids' ministry, yourself last, true joy. Am I willing to die to myself, my desires, my plans, my purposes, my pursuits? You know that verse in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I live now in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Dying to sin. Romans talks about sin. Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? In other words, does grace give us a license to sin? Of course not. Absolutely not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? You know, we live here in Windsor, and we need to support the big three, Chrysler, Ford, General Motors. But we must not support the other three, the world, the flesh, and His Majesty, the devil. Man, is he working overtime? So what did Jesus mean in Matthew when he said, deny yourself and lose your life? If anyone desires, let him deny himself and take up the cross and follow me. Whoever desires to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Well, the bottom line is this. We are in a battle every day, the flesh versus the spirit, and it is a war, and they are contrary to one another. Remember Galatians 5. The works of the flesh are evident: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred. We are seeing hatred in Canada. We are seeing hate crimes, contentions, jealousy, selfish ambitions, dissension. Church, we must do everything we can to avoid divisions and dissension. Heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, those who practice such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So self-dying is walking in the spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Putting on the new man that's talked about in Colossians 3. Self-dying is 2 Corinthians 5. He died for all in the sense of both Jew and Gentile alike, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. All have become new. So self-dying is no longer living in the flesh. It's no more I. It's all Jesus. So self-dying is engaging in the put-offs and the put-ons. It's talked about in Colossians 3. Put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language, lying. Let no unwholesome word come out of your mouth, only what's done for edification, Ephesians 4. Lying. All liars will have their place in hell, Revelation tells us. You have put off the old man with his deeds, Colossians 3:9, and put on tender mercies. Of course, we like our chicken tender. At Walkerville Baptist Church, we have lots of lechon, which is a pig roast, big, long pig, and we like the pig very moist, and if you go straight to the middle, you get the pork loin, and it is so moist, and it's so tender. We need to be tender. We need to be tender with one another. Be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Why? Christ forgave us. Ephesians 4:32. So put on tender mercies, kindness. How about a kind word? Maybe I'm old school, but in the old days here, even at Campbell, I remember the encouragement cards. We need more Barnabas in the Church of Jesus Christ today. Kindness, humility. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Meekness, long-suffering, forgiveness, love. And put off sin and self. Put off self-righteousness. The Pharisees and Sadducees did all that. Put off self-indulgence, self-centeredness, self-desires, self-thoughts, self-possessions. You know, when we get saved, what do? We follow through with a step of obedience, baptism. And what happens? We are saying, we belong to Jesus. We are publicly identifying with Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And we are saying we are dead to sin and we will walk in newness of life. So are we doing that? Are we dead to sin? Are we serving sin or the Savior? You see, before Christ, we followed the world. Do not love the world nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The lust of the eye, the pride of life, the world, it's fading away. It truly is. We need to put off this world. Knowing that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should be no longer slaves of sins. He who has died has made us free from sin. If we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Cost number three of discipleship, we will bear our own cross. Whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. All of us have a cross to bear. Your cross may look different than mine, but we will suffer for the cause of Christ. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been distressed by various trials. Peter. Romans talks about suffering. Tribulations produce perseverance. Perseverance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint because the Holy Spirit is poured out upon us. You know, Habakkuk, the minor prophet, asked God, how long, O Lord? How long? James tells us, brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing the testing of your faith will produce perseverance. So every person's cross may be different. We will go through physical suffering. We've had this with COVID. Mental suffering, we've had this with COVID. Familial suffering. Marital suffering. Financial suffering. Yet whatever the heartache or the heartbreak, we know that as Christians, God's grace is sufficient. Remember what Jesus said with Paul's thorn in the flesh. My grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in your weaknesses. Remember what Paul said to Timothy. You must endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. Count number four of discipleship. We must carefully count and persevere until the end. You know, Jesus gives us two examples of counting the cost of discipleship and finishing well for Jesus. So he could say to us, well done, thy good and faithful servant. First, building a tower and finishing it. We have to consider the cost about building. That's interesting, you know. Been a lot of things going on at Walkerville when we rebuilt God's church. And God rebuilt his own church, but he's using us mightily. Are we on board, though, to help Jesus build his church? I will build my church, Matthew 16, 18. The second example is war. You have to consider the costs before fighting. How about us? Are we on board in our daily battle and war and fight against the enemy, Satan? Consider the costs of following Jesus. Count the costs. The cost of forsaking all, Luke 14, 33. An absolute unconditional surrender. Abandonment of all our possessions, of our self-indulgences, of our secret sins. Will we persevere until the end? Being confident of this very thing, he that begins a good work in you shall complete it. Jesus completes the good work in us until he comes back for his church. Will we deny family pressures and put Jesus first? Will we deny our wants and desires and serve Jesus wholeheartedly to advance the kingdom of God? Will we be able to bear our cross and suffer for kingdom's sake? This present suffering is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us, Romans 8:18. You know, consider the alternative. Worthless salt. Wasted salt. A worthless, wasted life. You know, back in Jesus' day, salt was impure, and it could lose its flavor. Jesus said this, salt is good, but if it loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's neither fit for the land nor the rubbish, but men throw it out. Jesus said in Mark, whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. What will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and lose his soul? You know, let's not be half-hearted believers, not willing to pay the cost for following Jesus. Let's not waste our time. Let's not waste our life. There's only one way to be a disciple of Christ. Forsake all, surrender all. Are we all in when it comes to Scripture? Are we all in when it comes to saturating our minds with Scripture? Are we all in when it comes to supplication? Are we all in when it comes to service? And are we all in when it comes to submitting to God, to the local church, and to one another, and in our marriages? Let's be all in for Christ. Let's be true disciples of Christ. Committed to the word and prayer. Committed to suffering, if it's just for a little while even. Committed to serving well. Committed to persevering until Jesus comes back for his church. Are we all in? You know, there's an old hymn of the faith. It's been around for a long time. I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender. Humbly at his feet I bow. Worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus. Take me now. All to Jesus I surrender. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. I surrender all. May this be our testimony this morning for his glory and for his honor. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. May we be all in for your glory and for your honor. May we be all into the scriptures daily, checking them for truth. And may we be all in for prayer. And for service, and for suffering, and for submission. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand once more as we respond now to what we've heard, grace alone which God supplies.
Thank you. If you could please be seated for just a moment. With having been gone the past 3 weeks, I've not been able to bring in the second round of the fall membership class group, and we wanted to do that today so that, because if they would have a few weeks ago, and then they can still head out and in those last 10 minutes vote. We want to make sure everyone gets the chance to vote who would have been members and, Lord willing, will be members. So can I invite Tirza and Luann and Bruce and Menchie, if Matthew, if you are here, I don't know if you're here, come forward. Anyway, we want to afford these folks the opportunity to vote this morning. Hopefully you know Tirza Palmer. Bruce and Menchie Jewell, they're bringing their sons forward, but it's only Bruce and Menchie that are coming into membership this morning. And then Luann Bardwell as well. I'm going to walk through our standard 8 questions and would have you respond as called for with I do or I will, depending on. So you have got to pay close attention to how the question's framed, okay? Number 1. Do you recognize that apart from Christ, you are justly deserving of God's wrath? Number 2, do you further recognize that apart from Christ, you are without hope and without God in the world? 3, do you believe in the deity of Christ and in his declaration that you must be born again in order to inherit eternal life? 4, will you commit to the Lord, to the leadership of this church, and to the general membership that you will live a life that is different, holy, and godly? Will you commit yourself to support this local assembly through regular attendance, through prayer, and with your finances to the best of your ability? Will you commit yourself to service in this assembly so that collectively we might fulfill the Great Commission? Will you submit yourself to the government and discipline of this local church, avoiding heresy and public scandal? And then finally, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity? Amen. It is our practice to welcome new members based on a 2/3 majority vote. I so move. Is there anyone who will second? I see a bunch of seconders. I'll take you, Joe. All those in favor, amen?
Amen.
All right, that was better than 2/3. Welcome. Hey guys. I invite you to stand once more now for the benediction. And now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen. God bless you.